Welcome to day 86 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, and I'm happy to have you along with me as we are in the midst of the book of Joshua. We are reading from the New American Standard Bible this week, and we are reading today Joshua 16, 17, and 18. So beginning at the first verse of Joshua chapter 16. Then the lot for the sons of Joseph went from the Jordan at Jericho to the waters of Jericho on the east into the wilderness, going up from Jericho through the hill country to Bethel. It went from Bethel to Luz and continued to the border of the Archites at Ataroth. It went down westward to the territory of the Japhletites, as far as the territory of lower Beth Horon, even to Gezer, and it ended at the sea. The sons of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim, received their inheritance. Now this was the territory of the sons of Ephraim, according to their families. The border of their inheritance eastward was Ataroth Adar, as far as upper Beth Horon. Then the border went westward at Michmethath on the north, and the border turned about eastward to Tanath Shiloh and continued beyond it to the east of Genoa. It went down from Genoa to Ataroth and to Narah, then reached Jericho and came out at the Jordan. From Tapua the border continued westward to the brook of Cana, and it ended at the sea. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the sons of Ephraim according to their families, together with the cities which were set apart for the sons of Ephraim in the midst of the inheritance of the sons of Manasseh, all the cities with their villages. But they did not drive out the Canaanites who lived in Gezer. So the Canaanites live in the midst of Ephraim to this day, and they became forced laborers. Chapter 17. Now this was the lot for the tribe of Manasseh, for he was the firstborn of Joseph. To Machir, the firstborn of Manasseh, the father of Gilead, were allotted Gilead and Bashan, because he was a man of war. So the lot was made for the rest of the sons of Manasseh, according to their families, for the sons of Abiezer, and for the sons of Helek, and for the sons of Asriel, for the sons of Shechem, and for the sons of Hepher, and for the sons of Shemida. These were the male descendants of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, according to their families. However, Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, had no sons, only daughters. And these are the names of his daughters, Mahla and Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. They came near before Eleazar the priest, and before Joshua the son of Nun, and before the leaders, saying, "The Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our brothers." So according to the command of the Lord, he gave them an inheritance among their father's brothers. Thus there fell 10 portions to Manasseh, besides the land of Gilead and Bashan, which is beyond the Jordan, because the daughters of Manasseh received an inheritance among his sons. And the land of Gilead belonged to the rest of the sons of Manasseh. The border of Manasseh ran from Asher to Michmethath, which was east of Shechem. Then the border went southward to the inhabitants of En-Tapua. The land of Tapua belonged to Manasseh, but Tapua on the border of Manasseh belonged to the sons of Ephraim. The border went down to the brook of Cana, southward of the brook. These cities belonged to Ephraim among the cities of Manasseh. And the border of Manasseh was on the north side of the brook, and it ended at the sea. The south side belonged to Ephraim, and the north side to Manasseh, and the sea was their border. And they reached to Asher on the north and to Issachar on the east. In Issachar and in Asher, Manasseh had Beth Shean and its towns, and Ibleam and its towns, and the inhabitants of Dor and its towns, and the inhabitants of Endor and its towns, and the inhabitants of Tanakh and its towns, and the inhabitants of Megiddo and its towns. The third is Naphath. But the sons of Manasseh could not take possession of these cities because the Canaanites persisted in living in that land. It came about when the sons of Israel became strong, they put the Canaanites to forced labor, but they did not drive them out completely. Then the sons of Joseph spoke to Joshua, saying, "Why have you given me only one lot and one portion for an inheritance, since I am a numerous people whom the Lord thus far has blessed?" Joshua said to them, "If you are a numerous people, go up to the forest and clear a place for yourself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the Rephaim, since the hill country of Ephraim is too narrow for you." The sons of Joseph said, "The hill country is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites who live in the valley land have chariots of iron. Both those who are in Beth Shean and its towns, and those who are in the valley of Jezreel." Joshua spoke to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, saying, "You are a numerous people and have great power. You shall not have one lot only, but the hill country shall be yours. For though it is a forest, you shall clear it, and to its farthest borders it shall be yours. For you shall drive out the Canaanites, even though they have chariots of iron, and though they are strong." Chapter 18. Then the whole congregation of the sons of Israel assembled themselves at Shiloh, and set up the tent of meeting there, and the land was subdued before them. There remained among the sons of Israel seven tribes who had not divided their inheritance. So Joshua said to the sons of Israel, "How long will you put off entering to take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you? Provide for yourselves three men from each tribe, that I may send them, and that they may arise and walk through the land and write a description of it according to their inheritance. Then they shall return to me. They shall divide it into seven portions. Judah shall stay in its territory on the south. The house of Joseph shall stay in their territory on the north. You shall describe the land in seven divisions and bring the description here to me. I will cast lots for you here before the Lord our God. For the Levites have no portion among you, because the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance. Gad and Reuben and the half-tribe of Manasseh also have received their inheritance eastward beyond the Jordan, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them." Then the men arose and went. And Joshua commanded those who went to describe the land, saying, "Go and walk through the land and describe it, and return to me. Then I will cast lots for you here before the Lord in Shiloh." So the men went and passed through the land and described it by cities in seven divisions in a book. And they came to Joshua to the camp at Shiloh. And Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord. And there Joshua divided the land to the sons of Israel according to their divisions. Now the lot of the tribe of the sons of Benjamin came up according to their families, and the territory of their lot lay between the sons of Judah and the sons of Joseph. Their border on the north side was from the Jordan. Then the border went up to the side of Jericho on the north, and went up through the hill country westward, and it ended at the wilderness of Beth Aven. From there, the border continued to Luz, to the side of Luz, that is Bethel, southward, and the border went down to Ataroth Adar, near the hill which lies on the south of lower Beth Horon. The border extended from there and turned round on the west side, southward, from the hill which lies before Beth Horon southward, and it ended at Kiriath Baal, that is, Kiriath Jearim, a city of the sons of Judah. This was the west side. Then the south side was from the edge of Kiriath Jearim, and the border went westward and went to the fountain of the waters of Nephtoah. The border went down to the edge of the hill, which is in the valley of Beth Hinnom, which is the valley of Rephaim, northward. and it went down to the valley of Hinnom, to the slope of the Jebusite southward, and went down to En-Rogel. It extended northward and went to En-Shemesh, and went to Geliloth, which is opposite the ascent of Adumim, and it went down to the stone of Bohan, the son of Reuben. It continued to the side in front of the Arabah northward, and went down to the Arabah. The border continued to the side of Beth Hoglah northward, and the border ended at the north bay of the Salt Sea, at the south end of the Jordan. This was the south border. Moreover, the Jordan was its border on the east side. This was the inheritance of the sons of Benjamin, according to their families and according to its borders all around. Now the cities of the tribe of the sons of Benjamin, according to their families, were Jericho and Beth Hoglah and Emek Keziz and Beth Arabah and Zemaraim and Bethel and Avim and Parah and Ophrah and Chefar Ammoni and Ophni and Geba, 12 cities with their villages, Gibeon and Ramah and Beeroth and Mizpah and Chepherah and Mozah and Rakim and Irpial and Taralah and Zelah, Haaleph and the Jebusite that is Jerusalem, Gibeah, Kiriath, 14 cities with their villages. This is the inheritance of the sons of Benjamin according to their families. This is the end of today's scripture reading. As we read today's Bible passages, you heard about the division of the land, of the promised land, into specific possessions for each of the tribes of Israel. And what does this have in terms of meaning for our lives today? Well, I think it has a lot of meaning for us. And the first one that I will point out is that God is very specific in the lives of every single one of his people, meaning he has specific purpose. He has a particular place for you, just like he had a place for each and every one of the tribes of Israel. You heard as the tribes were divided, there's 12 tribes, and each were given a specific area they were to live in. And as you heard, the division of the promised land was made through a system that they called casting of lots, but there was a divine component for certain in the casting of lots, because this way, first of all, no one could complain that the leaders were particularly favoring anyone, and there was no partiality on their part in giving this area or that area to a specific tribe. But it was more than that. There was also prophetic purpose in the division of the land, even though the lot was involved, because there were prophecies back in Genesis 49 that were given by Jacob about the 12 sons of Jacob, and then also given by Moses about the different sons in Deuteronomy 33. And we don't have time to examine all of it today, but if you want to take the time to go back and look at those two particular places, Genesis 49 and Deuteronomy chapter 33, you will find that there were references to the different tribes and how they would fare, so to speak, in the latter years. And we find that the distribution of the promised land fell right in with those prophecies about who would have greater area and territory and all of that, and even that one of the sons would have their territory within another one of the tribes' particular area of possession. But that is just one point. But the point that I want to bring to your attention is that even as the Lord had a specific purpose and place for each and every one of the tribes of Israel, his people, he has a very specific place and purpose for you in the world today. I believe very sincerely that God is very interested in where you live and where you work and what you do in every area of your life. But you have to believe it in order to possess the territory, so to speak, that God has for you. I found it very fascinating as we listened to the words spoken to the people of the tribe of Joseph, because they came to Joshua and said, "Why have you given me only one lot and one portion for an inheritance, since I am a numerous people whom the Lord has thus far blessed?" And Joshua answered them and said, "If you are a numerous people, go up to the forest and clear a place for yourself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the Rephaim, since the hill country of Ephraim is too narrow for you." And he was basically saying, okay, you have a lot of people in your tribe. You've been blessed by God with many sons, grandsons, a lot of descendants for the tribe of Joseph. Then he says, then go take possession of this area. And he gives them an assignment, this hill country where the Perizzites live, and a place where the Rephaim lived. And it was a beautiful area. But Joseph, the sons of Joseph, complained and said, the hill country's not enough for us, and all the Canaanites who live in the valley have chariots of iron. And so they're basically complaining that it's going to be a tough battle for them to go and take this territory. But Joshua spoke to them and said, you're a numerous people and have great power. You should not have one lot only, but the hill country shall be yours. For though it's a forest, you shall clear it, and to its farthest borders it shall be yours. For you shall drive out the Canaanites, even though they have chariots of iron, and though they are strong. So Joshua did not accept their excuses of how hard it was going to be to take that land. In fact, he prophetically said to them, you will take it. You will clear that land. You will drive out the Canaanites, even though they have chariots of iron. And he said, you are numerous and have great power. So in a way, he was saying to them, God has already blessed you. God has already given you strength. God has already given you power. And it is your assignment from the Lord to go up to that hill country and take possession of it and drive out the enemy from that place. And I use this example here in the midst of the division of the land that we read about to say this to you. God has a divine purpose for you and a divine place for you and a divine assignment for you. Obviously, your first job is to find out what that is. But secondly, God says, even here, you have great power. And we have been given power. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, born again by the blood of Jesus, you have the Spirit of God residing in you. You have been given a power by God. It says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us in the book of Philippians, and many other scriptures which talk about how God has empowered us to do things above and beyond our own natural ability. I love the scripture that talks about purpose, and I love this so much, that's found in Romans 8:28, and this is from the Amplified Translation. It says, we are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. God has a purpose for you, and he will work all things together, fitting into the plan for good for you, if you are in agreement with God. Just like the people of Israel were a covenant people, meaning they had to agree with God, believe God, have faith in God's word, obey God. And then God's side of the covenant is that he would protect them, provide for them, and empower them to take the land, to take possession of the area God had specifically given to that tribe. And he wants to do that for you as a believer today. He has specific territory. Maybe God's called you into the field of education, or the field of medicine, or the field of business, or the field of the entertainment industry, and he wants to plant you as a believer in that field. You could be like the sons of Joseph, who said, the valley, those guys down in the valley have chariots of iron. Or those people in the hill, it's the Rephaim, those were giants. Oh, we can't do that. If you have that attitude that the area, territory, specific purpose God has given to you is too hard to overcome, too hard to take possession of, then you will never be able to take the land that God has for you. But if you will believe the word of the Lord, if you know what God has put in your heart to do, whether it's the music industry, the whatever area of the world that God wants to plant you and have you prosper and have you take ground for the kingdom of God, you need to believe the word of the Lord that He is able to make all things work together for good according to His purpose for your life. And another scripture that I dearly love comes from Psalm 57. And this one says, and this is just so beautiful to me, and again, it's from Amplified Translation, Psalm 57, verse 2, I will cry to God Most High, who performs on my behalf and rewards me, who brings to pass His purposes for me and surely completes them. I believe that God wants to bring to pass His purpose for you and surely complete them. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. It doesn't matter if you're rich or if you are poor. That has no bearing whatsoever on the plan and purpose of God, because God's empowerment has nothing to do with your circumstances. It has everything to do with your faith, with your ability to believe God, your ability to trust God, your ability to agree with God, your choice to obey God. And God wants to do magnificent things in you and through you and with your family. He wants you and your family to take the ground that God has assigned for you to take, the territory He wants you to take, and God will assist you. But don't have the attitude that these sons of Joseph had. They're too strong. They got iron chariots. I don't want to do it. Receive the word of the Lord that Joshua spoke to them and says, you have great power. You have great power. You shall drive them out. And that's the will of the Lord for you. God wants you to be successful in the purpose to which He has called you. He wants you to make a mark in the world for the kingdom of God. He wants you to be an influencer of people and multitudes of peoples through the giftings, the anointings, and the calling He has upon your life. And He will help you as He helped the people of Israel as they went in to take possession of the land. But a warning must come as well. We are told that some of the tribes did not drive out the enemies as they were instructed to do, and they ended up becoming a thorn in their side. And it's the same for us. We have to overcome every enemy, even in our own flesh, that would try to keep us from taking the land. You know, laziness is an enemy we have to overcome. Selfishness is an enemy we have to overcome. You know, you can't love people if you're selfish. You can't be assigned to love people in the way that God wants you to love them if your selfishness has a grip on your life, because selfishness destroys a person's ability to give love, because they have to be outside of themselves to love. You can't be thinking about yourself if you're loving someone else. You're thinking about the other person. So there's enemies that we have to overcome, both in our flesh and as also in the spirit, in terms of maybe territory areas that you're operating in. But think about that. The children of Israel, certain ones of them, it says in chapter 16 here in Joshua, they did not drive out the Canaanites. And they live in their midst to this day, meaning they were a thorn in their side ever after, because they didn't fully obey the Lord in driving out the enemies of the land as they were instructed to by the Lord. So keep that in mind as you go after the territory God has called you to. God wants you to be successful. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to take the ground that He has called you to take, but you're going to have to rid the land of any enemy that would try to prevent you from having total success in the obtaining the inheritance God has for you. Let's take this lesson that we find here in the book of Joshua about the tribes taking hold of their possession in the promised land, and let's apply it to our lives today. God wants to give you the territory He's assigned for you in the promised land. He wants every promise to be operational in your life. Fight the fight of faith required. It's a good fight. It will bring a good result, and it will bring a blessing to you and your family, and it's worth it. God bless you and give you a victorious week.